Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
The headline was Bears get their guy. Big Ben strikes in Chicago. Yes.
What the hell are we talking about?
I don't honestly.
It's Ben Johnson time.
I got to call you on the Big Ben thing.
Okay.
Big Ben was called Big Ben because he was the size of an offensive lineman, right? Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben makes sense.
Ben is lighting it up.
But it's
Big
like,
Ben is applicable because he's the big guy in the coaching search. He's the big fish, and they landed him.
Yeah, but it's like calling a guy Fat Albert.
Hey, hey, hey! It's Fat Albert!
Because his name is Albert, but he's not overweight.
Just thinking headlines
All
for
right.
you.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Come
You're
on.
Right.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Texter would like him to be referred to as Benny the Bear.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow, well, Benny the Bear. Okay, yeah, still trying to figure out a good nickname. I'm really happy about Ben Johnson. I like what the staff looks like. We're going to hear from those guys. Getting moving on here. You got a bunch of official hires. The whole thing's almost over, but waiting on a final hire from New Orleans. And meanwhile, the Bears putting together their staff. Pretty cool to see the Bears ahead of the game.
Morning, Mully. Yeah, on this Wednesday, it's just beginning, not the end. It's just beginning. And we're settling into place this Bears offseason and kind of figuring out what the Super Bowl matchup's going to be like. This is kind of a little bit of a lull in this week. Mm-hmm. Last night, there was nothing to watch but hockey.
Boy, I got to tell you, I watched hockey. I had the game on. And holy guacamole. I really heard the goal more than I saw it. Like I was kind of doing some stuff, and I look up, and then I played it about five times. That angle, Is that a human angle?
It's like, a human angle. There's an angle. We would need a mathematician.
It was
kind of
like, it was like Kaner's goal against
it was the opposite way. The Flyers' goal,
right? But you saw this one. You saw it was a goal.
You did see it because it went up high, top shelf.
Oh yeah,
and then it bounced right. There was only a crevice that he fit it through.
Did it deflect off either the near post or the goalie himself? It just before it got in, it looked like it brushed something.
I would like to see the metrics or how fast that was traveling.
Yes.
When it went whizzed by the goalie's ear. And it did just that. And
Connor Bedard. Call John Ciampi. I bet he's got it in front of him.
I'm sure he's got it. for people that didn't see it, Connor Bedard scored a goal from an amazing angle.
A ridiculous angle.
Yeah, I think Dustin called it. Yes. Ridiculous angle. It was. And
I thought that was Jeff Joniak.
No, it was Dustin this morning. He referenced it. I was glad that he referenced the hockey goal in the Blackhawks. And
that one has to be referenced, right?
I mean, that one was referenced all over the league. Yeah, that was a shot heard around the league.
You gotta talk about
and
that.
And Connor Bedard needed that goal. And the Hawks hold on to beat the Lightning 4-1, upset victory. Nobody saw that coming. Young team goes on the road and wins in a tough environment. And Connor Bedard's goal was the impetus to all of that. Landon Slager, kid get called up, South Bend kid, Domer. And he scored again, and I think that's a good win for them.
And Tavo had an empty netter.
Tavo ends up with an empty netter, pads the stats a little bit. But
Donato scored the third one.
Yes,
right?
Yes, we got through all the goal scorers.
That's pretty good.
That's fun.
That's our longest hockey segment.
Well, I think we needed to
since we complained about
it. Was very little else to watch, and so the Hawks go on the road. The night after the Bulls have their most surprising victory of the season, I think we called it and agreed on. This is one of the bigger ones of the Blackhawks season because of
Tampa. Yeah.
It's a good team down there.
Yes, it is.
They don't lose games they shouldn't lose, and they did last night. And Connor Bedard needed that goal after all of the conversation about whether or not he's having fun, whether or not he's doing this or that. He needed that goal.
He now has 14 on the year, and I don't think Gretzky or Ovechkin or whoever is sweating. But that was a sensational goal.
Yeah, he's 19. I just want to always remind people who are talking about how Bedard is a disappointment. And
I didn't say
it
was a disappointment.
I'm not saying you did. I get triggered. Yeah. Some people like, oh, Bedard's done. Bedard, he's not the player we thought he would be.
Is he having a sophomore slump? I don't think that's even accurate. He's a very young guy. And, he's going to need about 15, 20 more years of that.
Lightning took a couple shots at him last night. They were cheap shots.
That's what they do.
Not good.
And I'm talking about the NHL.
Not so much the Lightning. They rough them up.
Yeah, that would be the book on how to play them, right?
And that's why the Hawks would get all those veterans this past summer to try to protect him. You know, Pat Maroon will fight anybody, and they've got some guys trying to protect him.
He tripped over the official's skate. And boarded himself. That was pretty wild.
So we were exposed a little hockey last night. And it's the first time they got a victory on the road since December 9th. That's a long drought. That's a long road drought for the Blackhawks.
You know, I watch a ton of soccer, as you know. Mm-hmm. I don't ever talk about it. But I do see the hockey. I see similar patterns in the game, let's say. Obviously, it's much faster in hockey. But I was thinking about that goal. It was almost like a guy scoring on a corner kick.
Yeah.
It was so, I mean, the angle was non-existent.
It was.
And it was just extraordinary that went in. And you just wonder about a goal like that. Like, you know, not who's to blame, but a spectacular individual effort. And he clearly saw something. And he put it, like, through a keyhole.
And not often will you see anybody try such a shot because they don't have confidence they can make such a shot.
Yeah.
But this kid, despite having some struggles, relatively speaking, I don't think his confidence is as damaged as some people have suggested. I think a shot like that reminds you what he can be capable of. Fun. Texter says, lots of Hawks faithful in the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it was, the Blackhawks have a following. There's a lot of Chicagoans down in Florida. Tampa is one of those places. It's not far from.
I like Tampa.
Yeah.
I liked going down there when the Hawks were playing them in the playoffs.
Well, in the old days when they were in the black and blue division, you know, there were tons of
Chicago. The Bears were down there a lot.
They go every year.
They always had a December game, it seemed like, in Tampa.
Yeah.
That was
if you're
nice.
A Hawks fan, that's a fun. I mean, first of all, there's a lot of people who live down there. But if you're a Hawks fan, that would be a fun game to schedule, like a nice trip.
Joe Madden's restaurant still open?
I do not know. It's not at Wrigley Field.
I know it's not at Wrigley Field.
I love that one.
Oh. But you would have even loved the one in Tampa. I don't know if you ever went to that one in Tampa, Joe Madden's restaurant, but it was very good too.
I've been to the Burns Steakhouse. Does that count?
No, I don't think so.
What are you talking about? Dustin is pumped up. He started fist bumping at the idea of Burns.
No, I don't. I don't think it's the same. It's the one in Tampa is called Ava.
Ooh.
Yeah, Ava, and it was like a pretty nice Italian restaurant, very well done. Down there, I ate there a couple times.
Well, his restaurant at Wrigley is well missed.
I know. I wonder how Joe's doing these days.
Yeah, I don't know.
Spring training 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? The Cubs report
yes.
in 2 weeks.
I
pitchers
believe
and catchers.
We've been counting down to it.
Well, we should count down to it.
Yeah, no, I'm all for it. I'm very excited that we are entering the spring training portion of the program.
Yeah, we'll talk about what the Cubs have left to do. They introduced their closer today, Ryan Pressly.
Yeah.
We'll meet the Cubs media and be on the station on the midday show.
Oh, yeah,
looking
today.
Forward to that interview.
Fantastic.
I'm very curious to see how he explains wanting to be at Wrigley Field, wanting to be a Cub, waiving the no-trade clause, because all those things were in question, and why the trade took a little bit longer to materialize, because he had a no-trade clause in his deal.
Well, he's 36,
yeah.
Right? So he's a grown man.
And his family lives year-round in Houston.
And yeah, so I wonder if that's part
probably.
Of it.
Probably. I think there's some young kids I saw in one of the photos.
Uh-huh.
So there might be some considerations there. So I also wonder
Chicago
if...
Chicago, a great place to spend the summer.
It is.
Absolutely beautiful.
Does he have a no-trade clause in his deal still? Because do the Cubs, in getting him, promise not to trade him? Because they could flip him.
Is there 1 year left, or how many?
I think there's 1 year left.
Yeah. So I mean, you think that they've assured him they won't flip him at the trade deadline?
Well, I wonder if that's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Because you would not want to move twice.
No.
If you can avoid it.
No.
So we see here from the Cub closer and more Bears information coming out. The coordinators, as you said, will be introduced tomorrow. The Senior Bowl is in full swing. The Bears have a lot of representatives down there scouting, evaluating, watching one-on-one drills, making mental notes to themselves.
Yeah, I watch some of that stuff. I can't help myself. It's not a habit, but I think...
On the NFL Network?
Yeah, I really enjoy...
I'm just glad you got the NFL Network still.
Oh, I do, man.
I'm glad you still got it.
Hey, you teased me about that for years. Dustin and I would sit there with our lower lips bleeding as we bit through them while you talked about it.
You should have heard what Rich Eisen said.
And then you didn't have Marquee, and we were all puffy chested about that.
Yeah, well, everything comes together.
I still have a friend who doesn't have the Chicago Sports Network.
Oh, I know. I have several friends.
He is letting me know about it. He watched the hockey game on Tampa television somehow.
Whatever. You can find ways to watch the hockey game.
I think he has.
But I would recommend the Chicago Sports Network.
Well, I think the problem is that it's not his problem. It's the Comcast still. Isn't that still an issue?
Yeah, that's still an issue.
That's awful. Yeah. Got to get that straightened out. But the Senior Bowl, a lot of fun down there. We talked about it. I did a series of shows from down there years ago, and I was just reading the various reads, you know how we have like the stuff up here, like the hotline and stuff.
Yeah,
they had reads for like, you know, Wayne's Garage, like the barbecue at Wayne's Garage.
It's local, local.
It was.
It's hyper local. Yeah.
It was so, and I was later out talking to some people, and I mentioned, hey, what's Wayne's Garage like, or whatever the name of the place was. And they were, oh, man, you found that. Because everyone goes to Winchell's, nowhere else. You know, it was really funny.
Yeah, that's the lifeblood of a lot of these smaller radio stations. And
very small.
Advertising with local advertisers. They're the lifeblood of the community.
Yeah, it was one of those places where it's like a, you know, there was like a transmitter and there was like, you know, like a small building.
You've never worked at a place like that?
Small building. No, I hadn't worked
there. Yeah, so that's where
I'm from, the South
my
Side.
My radio career started there.
Yeah. Oh, really? In one of those really
small stations, yeah. Yes. WKVI, 99.3 FM, Voices of Kankakee Valley.
The Cave?
WKVI. No, we didn't call it The Cave. It's never been called The Cave.
It's David in The Cave.
Was that in The Cave?
Did you talk like a real radio guy?
I tried.
It's David in The Cave. We're going to play some rock and roll.
I don't know how I talk now, but I tried to talk more like a radio guy then. I was 16 years old.
That's hysterical.
And I was trying out my new radio voice, and they gave me a lot of autonomy, and I was the weekend guy. They gave me a lot of autonomy for a teenager.
Weekend?
I was the weekend guy from 8 to 12 on, or from 12 to 3 on Saturday afternoon and 8 to 12 on Sunday morning.
You know, those are great hours for like learning to do radio.
It was.
No, it's a really good
country music station.
People
developed my love of country music probably there.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
Playing, you know, the hits.
You did it in the cave?
Hits. In the cave. WKVI coming up. Top 40 with. Whoever else.
WKVI.
That's kind of the way it sounds. Yeah. I love that station. I love that job. But you're 16 years old.
Duval.
I didn't do any of that. I didn't mess around. I took that pretty seriously as a teenager. I thought it was pretty
That's
cool.
That's a great gig to have as a teenager.
Oh, yeah. It's a great gig.
Wow.
Really grateful. They launched my media career.
Well, that's it.
I owe them forever.
There you go. Look at that.
Anyway, we digress.
You got hooked.
I did. I got hooked.
Yeah.
I said, one day, I want to be a radio guy.
Yeah. That's very fun stuff, man. That's really, honestly, it's great to see stuff like that.
Question
the Bulls,
for you.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to ask you about the Bulls.
Wait.
How in the world are they 15.5 point underdogs?
I'm
not a big gambling guy, but like.
Can I just say that I looked yesterday, just out of habit, mm-hmm. and it was 14.5. So somehow it's gone up.
Dustin, do we have an explanation for this? Because is it because Zach LaVine isn't playing? White's not playing?
Yes.
That's
and
a
yes.
big number.
And
is it not?
I believe the Boston Celtics won the NBA title last year.
I understand there's a revenge factor, too. Didn't the Bulls have a shocking win in Boston not too long ago?
Yeah, but it's the NBA. How bitter is the revenge in the regular season?
Well, I'm just adding to what you guys already – I'm just trying to give you another reason possibly why it is. I was like, whoa.
Research project. I don't know if this is asking too much, but I wonder, have the Bulls played anybody this year – where they've been this heavy of an underdog?
Well, Joe O, 644.
Yeah. That's a tease.
Joe Ostrowski will join us.
See, that's a radio pro.
I've been practicing radio for a long time, too, David.
Yeah, yeah.
He was doing it when he was 12.
He wasn't in a cave.
I was in Northbrook. One-on-one sports and sporting news radio.
I was there, too.
Why does everyone talk that way when they have the radio voice
on? They try to do a radio voice?
Yes. There's a growl.
The best is when Grody used to do that. And now we're going to play that one song that you know.
Well, Grody does have a radio voice and a persona.
But he can go into radio persona better than anyone. It's hysterical.
He's pretty smooth at that. Yeah.
I bet that would work at various places.
Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer.
You know who also is very smooth with that radio voice, depending on, and he has so many different audiences that I think Gabe Ramirez is terrific at that.
Oh, really? Like
his radio voice? Yeah, his voice is just so smooth, and he can, no matter what he's talking about, whether it's, you know, playing the hits at B96 or down here talking sports or whatever he is talking about, it sounds like he's been doing it for years and he's very comfortable.
The Bears need help with the punt returner.
Yeah, it sounds in rhythm. It sounds cool. Yeah. Some guys are just cool.
Yeah.
Gabe is just the epitome of cool.
Oh, Gabe's a good man.
And Grody, too. Grody's cool.
Yeah, the two of them together. Now, there's a show.
How about Dustin's growl, though, when we talked radio guy? Tell me more about one-on-one sports.
One-on-one sports is like was a serious sports place. It became Sporting News Radio.
That Terry Brennan?
Yes.
Yes, there
you
go.
Exactly right. There's your Notre Dame connection.
His dad was the head coach at Notre Dame.
I remember that because I was in South Bend.
Actually, Terry Brennan was the head coach at Notre Dame. Chris was his
Chris
son.
Chris is
yes,
his son.
Yes, Terry Brennan was the coach at Notre Dame. I think at one point, the youngest coach ever, perhaps. And I remember going to Northbrook when I was in South Bend, traveling to his home, I believe, when he was running the radio station or was involved in it, and sitting down with him. Notre Dame legend.
Papa Joe Chevalier, Arnie Spanier, Peter Brown, Tim Brando, James Brown.
Jay Mariotti.
Jay Mariotti.
Wow. It's a long list.
It's a Wednesday, so we could do a Bite Me Wednesday.
That Mike
was a
Mulligan?
Big, that was a big staple, Bite Me Wednesday.
What's that?
Bite Me, 4 hours of people calling in to complain and say,
for who?
So, Ryan Poles, you can't bite me.
Was that Joe? who did that?
That was Papa Joe.
That
Papa
was a
Joe.
Segment?
No, not a segment.
It was
that
a
was
show.
The four-hour program it's every Wednesday. And then we had Wednesday. Title IX Thursday. Mm. We would complain about Title IX on Thursdays.
Wow.
At Bite Me Wednesday, Title IX Thursdays.
Joe was such a pro. I mean, you want to talk about like old radio pro. Yes, that kind of stuff. Like Dave Baum when he would like take a sip of coffee to let you know that he was, you know, the guys that have just been like, you know, raised in radio.
Grizzled he was a big newspaper guy.
Yes.
Big newspaper guy. Yeah. Would go to the like Borders, and on Sundays he would get two copies of all the out of town sports pages because this is pre-internet. So then he would mark them up and I would have to clip them and Xerox them bigger to make it easier to read. So if the story was on the other side, we didn't want to lose that. So we would buy double copies of the New York Post, the New York Times, Dallas Morning News, LA Times, and he'd bring it in on Mondays.
Yeah,
and then
it was a national radio show.
I would want to get these guys on that wrote these columns. And he goes, kid, they come to Papa to hear Papa.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't want any of those.
We should
reporters.
Try that next time.
Yeah.
Kid. We should try that next time.
Kid.
Dustin says, do you want a guest or do you want to talk? Well,
they come here to hear David.
No. They come here to hear Molly.
They come here to hear Papa. And he's not here. So get us another guest.
And unfortunately, he's no longer here.
Yeah, we lost him.
I almost moved to Vegas to work with Papa
yeah,
Joe
you,
in
didn't
Vegas.
You spend,
I
you,
lived there.
You
I lived in Vegas for a,
while,
for
a right?
month. Yeah,
you and Zach. Uh-huh. Zach Zaidman did too, I think.
Zach did the, he did the
Pete
show.
Rose.
Pete Rose.
And DePaul basketball.
Not in Vegas.
Did they? No.
In those days, they would have been worth wagering on, sadly.
Oh. But they're turning things around, aren't they, with Chris Holman?
They won a game in the Big East.
That's what you
They took
saying.
Marquette to overtime.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Hey, that's pretty good.
Hey.
Yeah, I know.
It just takes more than
slowly
a year.
Kind of getting into that college basketball mode.
Yeah, we're not there yet. Dustin's already there. He's already
Dustin's watching
out
games
wages.
That he can't name the starting lineups. But we're still looking at the Big Ten and the local. We don't talk much about the Ramblers anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, the Ramblers have
now. We got to talk UIC.
USC's after
UIC is on
they're
an unbelievable
on a roll.
Role.
They're on a heater.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's interesting.
Kinda. Go Flames!
Tonight there's a big game at Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
Rutgers comes into Northwestern.
Yeah.
Ron Harper's son is leading.
There's two guys on that team that are outstanding.
Two NBA talents.
Yes.
On that team against Chris Collins' crew.
Dare I say that team should be better than it is?
You could say that, and I wouldn't be able to challenge it. Let's say that.
Okay.
my Rutgers database is empty right now.
Okay.
I Greg Schiano.
You did the whole show right there. That was your Rutgers show.
I think
they
so.
Got a couple
because
guys. There.
I know that they have a couple. NBA players.
Yes.
We talked about him briefly yesterday.
We talked about it yesterday,
yeah. Yeah, and I think that we're talking about him tonight on the Chicago Sports Network.
Oh, wow.
Hey, we had Bubba Wallace and Chase Elliott on yesterday in the Chicago Lead.
Wow, that
those
must
guys,
have been a thrill.
It was. They were in town to start promoting the NASCAR race, and I knew you would be thrilled
the
that
NASCAR
here
race.
For a third summer in a row.
Holy
They're
cow.
Back.
Well, that's something.
They're back.
Did we ever finish that movie script? Remember we had that movie? We were going to have the great ripoff of the Art Institute go on
we
while
need to get
the
back
cars
on that.
Were racing.
Yeah. This year,
it's high concept.
Can we write into the script, no rain?
Oh, yeah. No. No, apparently they timed it, so it's going to be pouring rain.
No rain. Watch. Look at the Farmer's Almanac, and then you can tell me if it's going to rain or not.
Speaking of radio voices, those NASCAR guys. Oh, my God! That car had to slow down! He hit the wall! He did! He chipped it!
They have the greatest
rain. Oh, my
race.
God.
They
it's
do.
Like, but, like, literally, it's you're like watching were rain, and you're watching a bunch of cars piled up, and they're going crazy about it!
They were born with that voice to do one thing. And that was to call NASCAR.
To call the movie Cars. Yeah.
That was it.
Lightning McQueen. He came around to turn. Did you see him turn?
That's true. That
it is so
they get
true.
Very excited. They love what they do.
Oh my God, they get
do. They love
up.
What they do. But those two guys were very nice. You know, Bubba Wallace works for Michael Jordan.
I did know that.
Yeah, and it was cool to see them with the team kind of get in front of the Jordan statue and all that stuff.
That's fun stuff.
Yeah, it's fun stuff.
The Ramblers, by the way, at George Mason tonight at 6.
Hmm. So that sounds like a barn burner.
Something for you to do. Something. To look forward
no,
to.
No, I'm watching the Celtics tonight.
Yes. You're not watching the Bulls?
The Bulls-Celtics. I'm going to find out. Okay. I'm thinking about taking that enticing bet, going to my FanDuel app.
15.5?
And putting some money down. And the Bulls to – that's a big number in the NBA, right?
Do you know what's really weird? Like, I know the Bulls play Boston, and I was yesterday just kind of going through some stuff, putting together some questions, thinking about things, and I thought – wow, like, didn't Ella May drop some songs, like, in November? She turned 30 in November, and she has three songs out, and she and Jason Tatum got the number 3 tattooed on themselves to celebrate
how
the
do you know
birth
these
of their
things?
First child.
Why do you know these things?
Why would you not? You don't know who the NBA stars are dating and
no, you know. Not really. I wouldn't say that I have that good of a working
I
knowledge
love
of that
Ella
stuff.
May. I think she's great, mm-hmm. and I like that Jason Tatum and her have a child together. That's all.
To stay on that too, the Bulls, Torrey Craig, is dating rapper Megan Thee Stallion.
There yeah, that's go. Right. Megan Thee Stallion.
Hmm.
That's pretty
So that's what he's up to.
Wow. Hey, that was a shot.
I just wanted to
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm glad that Brad had entered the chat there. I wasn't quite sure who Torrey Craig was dating these days.
But there's all sorts of like good connections like that. You just travel in such circles and you know, it's difficult for celebrities to meet.
I don't want to belabor this, but what circles are you traveling in that exposes you to conversations about NBA's social lives? NBA players' social lives.
I am a R&B man. I like to listen to that stuff, and I know Ella May, and I like her a ton. I like to get booed up every once in a while. I start tripping, and come on, man, you gotta.
I got her, it. I'm with you.
And
with you.
You know what is the song about? Don't blank me up. Yeah, I mean. Listen, right. She's phenomenal.
That's cool.
I like the English New Yorkers. Okay, I can't help it.
All right.
But they're playing the Celtics tonight,
the Celtics,
so it's all coming 15 around.
15.5 point favorites over the Bulls. Or the Bulls are 15.5 point underdogs to the Celtics.
Yeah, they're getting 15.5. It's a lot of points. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it is.
All right, we got the pick 6 next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
And he goes, kid, they come to Papa to hear Papa.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
Pick Six brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with the contractors from finishingchicago.com. Did you like hearing the agent, Rick Smith, tell the Midday Show that his client, News Bears head coach Ben Johnson, has final say over personnel?
So the questions I asked were, you know, very direct in the sense that, you know, are you married to this roster? If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys, no matter how much you like or dislike them? This is basically Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles, his staff, tying themselves at the hip, starting to break down this roster, getting understanding what Ben's vision looks like. And that's the key. Ben has an absolute vision. That's all they ever needed. They needed a clear vision, and now they've got it. And when you get that vision, your job gets a lot easier. Now it's just go finding those players, and they will not have any interference whatsoever from the president, from the ownership. They'll be advised, of course, but they will not say no.
That's Rick Smith on with the Midday Show. He, the agent of Ben Johnson, GM Ryan Poles, basically said the same on the flagship station. Nonetheless, has Ryan Poles been demoted, in your opinion?
Well, you know, we've talked about this a little bit, and I suppose we haven't used the word demoted, but the reality is that the guy who's making the big coin, the guy who has the years of service, the guy that is covered for years to come, and he's making big money, that's the guy with the power. You know, follow the money. And Ryan Poles is not that guy. Ryan Poles, whether he has 1 year left or 2 years left, or whether we know exactly what his contract is, he is basically working for Ben Johnson. Now, Ben Johnson described it as them being in lockstep, and he looked right at Ryan Poles, and they kind of nodded through it. It was interesting. Rick Smith also, you know, he's been doing the rounds, and he's also talked about how the time that the two men spent on Zoom, the portion of that Zoom meeting, they you know, got locked in together and understood where they were going to go. So, I mean, I don't know if Ryan Poles is surprised to hear what Rick Smith had to say, but he did say that he will have said that Ben Johnson will have say over personnel. He did say that. He said that, yeah, like basically he gets to pick his team, which is big deal. So I think technically when you go from being the number one football guy and now you got somebody working for you and now you've helped hire someone who makes more than you, I would say you've been demoted or okay.
Well, they're also talking about joined at the hip. I think that's also important. And I guess some would say, right, some would think that Ryan Poles should be happy to be joined at the hip with the Bears. Ryan Poles should still be happy to be an employee of the Bears. And this might have given him, we don't know, or might get him a contract extension that a lot of people didn't think he was going to get. So there's that part of it, too.
Well, I'm one of those people, Dustin, and I think that you are exactly right. As time goes on, I do think that Ryan Poles is likely to get a contract extension. So of all the people who have celebrated Ben Johnson's arrival in Chicago at Hallis Hall, nobody will have any more reason to celebrate it than Ryan Poles. I do think that he will stay because they want to be in lockstep philosophically. I don't think that's realistic. They will be definitely compatible football co-workers, and this is the brain trust of the Bears moving forward. But there's no question that the guy with the strongest voice is the guy with the biggest salary. Ben Johnson will win and break all ties. So for Ryan Poles, his perspective from the day that he appeared next to Kevin Warren and looking very much like the underling to the point where through the press conference and now hearing from the agent, Rick Smith still talking about all that we have now in a new power structure. For Ryan Poles, it's better to be diminished than dismissed, because he was probably closer to being dismissed before this whole process began. Now he's here with a level of job security, even if it's not with as much power as he had before.
We can talk about this later. Do you think Trent Baalke pushed back on that? Is that one of the reasons that
Baalke might have? I don't know as much about that situation, but it would make sense. He also has had more experience being a general manager, yeah. So he has been there and done that in a way that Ryan Poles hasn't.
Right.
You know, a guy 3 years on the job is more unlikely to push back at whatever role they have for him. He just probably wants to stay and be part of something he hasn't been a part of.
That's the question that needs to be asked.
According to reports, the Bears have 14 scouts or assistants at the Senior Bowl practices down in Alabama. But not Ben Johnson or Ryan Poles, at least not yet. Should they be there, or does assembling a staff take precedent over scouting talent?
I saw this debated underway yesterday on social media, and I find it somewhat amusing that the Senior Bowl has become this gathering spot for the mini league convention. The season's still going on. The real league convention is basically the NFL Combine. But if not everybody is there, you start to wonder why. What are they doing? Aren't they committed to scouting? Don't you want to have all the eyes on all the prospects? I don't know what to make of it. I don't think it's a big deal. I think Ben Johnson's trying to finish off some staff decisions. Mm. He's got to meet with guys at Hallis Hall. I don't know if he's going down at any point of this week. Maybe we'll find out from Dan Weider at 7:25. Ryan Poles, probably same type of thing. There's a change process. I think we have to give them a little bit of grace or understanding. They've got the eyes there. They got the technology. They can see things. There's nothing that beats a person to person and seeing something with your own eyes. But I don't want to make too much of this. It is something that is the first kind of real chance of getting a look at some of these guys. But it's a busy time at Hallis Hall. So I do think that the metamorphosis, the transformation of the organization, I think outweighs the chance to evaluate some of these prospects.
Could we at least be told that Ian Cunningham is down there, or is he like Mike McCarthy? He's taken himself out of consideration and he's preparing for the 2026 hiring cycle.
Did he not get the job in Jacksonville? Is he still in play for that?
I don't know. I'm asking. I mean, is Ian Cunningham down there? Is the assistant general manager? Is he also locked at the hip with Ben? I think it's a big deal. Go find your offensive line coach down in Mobile. Okay, go find your starting center down in Mobile. Go find your left guard down in Mobile, since you're going to buy the Chiefs' right guard. Okay, I think it is a big deal. Now, one of the words in here, and I know we like words, we speak them all day long.
We love words.
Yet. Is that the key word, yet, that they're not there yet, so they're going to get there? But they're having a press conference at Hallis Hall on Thursday for us to officially hear from these coordinators. You would assume that Ben Johnson will be in that room, and I guess we're going to assume that Ryan Poles will be in that room. Is Ryan Poles not allowed to go to a college football game unless Ben Johnson's there because they're locked at the hip on personnel decisions?
Wow.
I'm just saying, I think it is a big deal because there are lots of holes to fill, okay, especially on the offensive line.
If they're not there today, there's no sense in going. If they're not there today and tomorrow, everybody leaves tomorrow. You go out, you go fly in tomorrow to Mobile, and you'll see all the coaches in the NFL leaving. No one stays around for the game. I think tonight the seafood medley. That's one of the big nights where people show up at the hotel for the seafood medley. And there's another late night drinking party if you're still around on Thursday. But there's no one there at practice on Friday. The days to be down there are already passing. And if they're not going to be down there tomorrow, then there would be literally no reason to make that trip. It's like a coach's convention. You go down there. You can meet different people. You can talk about stuff. If you're in a hiring situation, you will be overrun by people down there. It's just there's a lot of people looking for jobs or speaking on behalf of someone, whatever. So I think they're better off being at Hallis Hall and putting together their coaching staff. That is the priority, without doubt. There are a lot of really good players down there. Over the years, success at the Senior Bowl usually will spell success in the NFL. I believe Brian Urlacher was an MVP there and wound up in Chicago with a Hall of Fame career. You know, Michael Hayes was an MVP of the Senior Bowl, and the Bears drafted him, and it didn't work out as well. So I just think that, as you say, David, you get all your scouts down there, you get all your people down there, you get all all the hullabaloo. What I find interesting about this is 14 scouts and assistants. The assistants would probably be the guys that are looking for a job that may or may not be back. So they're not there working on behalf of the Bears. They're there for their own, and the team should send them. I think it's a good thing to help them out in case they don't have a job. But and you're keeping them on hold until you can figure things out. I would imagine that that they have plenty of reports, plenty of people down there, plenty of information coming in. And then, you know, you can do you do a lot of your interviews and in-person stuff down there, but you can do a lot of that at the combine. So I don't think it's franchise altering that they're not there.
No, it's a valid question, certainly on the minds of a lot of people.
That's the voice of KC Johnson. He's with you guys at 8:25 this morning. Will Patrick Williams remain out of the starting lineup tonight in Boston, or is starting him a necessity since Coby White is still out with the ankle? Zach LaVine will miss the first of three excused games due to personal business. Regardless of whether Williams is more comfortable off the bench, what will Billy Donovan do?
You know, I imagine Billy will do what he said, which is what's best for the team. In other words, not what's best for Patrick Williams. If he decides that they need his ability to defend, that they're short too many guys, and he's got length, and they can't go with the small lineup again against the Celtics, then I would imagine, I would not be surprised if Patrick Williams starts this game. Because of the situation, you know, the personal issue is that Zach and his wife are having their third child. So, you know, God bless them. You just got to be careful about how you say that. It's not like the guy's holding out for the trade deadline or something. But, yeah, I think the Patrick Williams story is still front of mind. And they had him come off the bench, and he said he was a lot more comfortable, and it makes sense since that's what he did in college. But, you know, he only played a year in college. What are we talking about? Whatever works for Billy is fine by me.
Well, this is very interesting to me. Did I miss this? And I might have missed this. Did Patrick Williams or did Billy Donovan say that Patrick Williams is more comfortable coming off the bench?
I believe they both said that.
Patrick Williams complimented Billy Donovan on the communication. I think both kind of wanted to suggest that he was more comfortable the other night because he had success doing it.
All right. Well, so if you look at the depth chart, and we always like to look at depth charts when we're talking about football, you know, Dalen Terry's the next guy up. That's Zach LaVine's guy off the bench, Dalen Terry. And he had a nice night the other night. Matas Buzelis was in the role of the sixth man the other night. Obviously, Io is going to be starting in place of Coby White. So go ahead, leave Patrick Williams over on the bench and get him up, and you know, hopefully he's playing. Hopefully the game matters, right? Hopefully the game, there's a reason for him to be on the court in the fourth quarter. But again, the Bulls are a 15-plus point
underdog. Do you care, Dustin? I mean, will you be mad if we come in tomorrow and he has started?
Well, I just don't get it. I mean, I pick, you know, it's kind of like, but that's the Bulls, right? Pick a lane. Is he a starter or is he a bench player? And is he more, again, he, okay, there's a difference between he complimented him on the communication.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, you never want to hear a guy say, I'd rather come off the bench than start, right? No, you don't want that. It's like saying, I don't want the ball in the ninth. I only want it in the sixth. Like, you want your guy to be a starter. You want your guy to be in key, high leverage situations.
Yeah, this isn't that hard. That he was coming off the bench the other night because they had a full complement of players to choose from. That was his best role. Tonight they don't. They're missing two of their best players. Patrick Williams is going to start in all likelihood, I would expect, because you don't want to fall behind 12-2 because he can't guard anybody. Patrick Williams, despite all of the people who are critics of him, present company included, he does guard people, and he does give you your best perimeter defensive team. Against the Celtics group that shoots the threes and can beat you in a variety of ways, you need defense. So I would be surprised if he doesn't start, despite what they said after the big victory the other night, because after the victory the other night, it was true in that moment. The NBA is a fluid situation. 82 games. Things change every single day. Zach's gone. Congratulations to him and his family. Coby White's gone. He could be back as soon as the next game.
Yep.
But tonight, Patrick Williams should start.
It's a good question.
The Bears' most pressing personnel issue has to be the improvement on the offensive line. Who would you recommend bringing back on that unit? Poles had mentioned that Ryan Bates, who played three games, has recovered from the concussion that put him on the IR. Can you trust him? Would you re-sign Matt Pryor, Coleman Shelton, Tevin Jenkins, Jake Curhan, Larry Borum, who are all headed to free agency?
You've got a blank easel. You've got to wipe everything else out of your mind. You have Darnell Wright at the right side. I think you monitor Braxton Jones and his recovery from the broken leg on the left side and see where he is at. You penciled those guys in. I don't know. It's worth considering with Ben Johnson. We don't know a lot about what he thinks and values in offensive linemen. Is Darnell Wright, at this point of his career, worth considering moving to left tackle if this is going to be your big guy on your offensive line? On this, by the same token, Ben Johnson comes from a group in Detroit where the dominant lineman is the right tackle. So what does he really believe and what traits is he looking for? This is what goes back to the football conversation. This is the new set of eyes through which we'll be watching the Bears over the next several years, hopefully a very long time. So, but those two tackles are the only ones I think you look at as saying must stay. The other names on this list are forgettable, and I do think they're expendable. Maybe a guy like Coleman Shelton, because he has some experience and served you well, you would bring back on a very team-friendly deal. But you're starting over, and you're starting over with a set of criteria that we're really not privy to just yet. So I think you have to expect a lot of change.
Yeah, not a fan of this list at all as far as bringing these guys back. Here was a sneaky good pickup, though, a guy that might not be on everyone's radar that can play center, I think, at a high level. Keep an eye out and an ear out for the name Ricky Stromberg, who the Bears picked up late, who is a injury casualty for the Commanders. He's a guy that might be your starting center next year. Ricky Stromberg.
Wow. It's going deep in the weeds.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think what's fascinating about this is, you know, as you mentioned, Braxton Jones has an injury. You don't know where he's going to be at the start of the season. You know, you feel good about Darnell Wright. Period, end of story. That's where they are on the offensive line. As far as Braxton's concerned, you know, you want the guy to be healthy, and if nothing else, to be your swing tackle. Hopefully he can be your starting tackle, because they have a lot of work to do. They're going to need starting players. I mean, we're not talking about backups here. Kieran Amagaji is still there. So between the three of them, are you covered at tackle? That's a tough thing to say. As far as what you're looking at here, I don't know how you could possibly trust what you got out of Ryan Bates. First, he goes down to Panama, and he has this stem cell surgery to help his shoulder. Then he gets back from that. Then he has a concussion. He played three games. And are you moving him to center now? Is that part of the plan? That was seemingly the plan a year ago. So I think you need two players from outside the organization. You need a starter in free agency, a starting player. It'd be great if you got two, but there's not a deep group there, and it's costing a lot of money. If you got one guy, that would be awesome. I would draft at least two offensive linemen before the whole thing was said and done, and I might do it fairly high. And then as far as these guys are concerned, Coleman Shelton played every game. That's unbelievable. I wouldn't have expected that. I would try to get Matt Pryor back, because if nothing else, he proved a good backup who came in and started and did a serviceable job. I don't know what the price tag would be. I don't think you can bring back Tevin Jenkins. Jake Curran's a name. Larry Borum, that's an interesting one. Do you bring him back? Probably not.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes, Stacey, you may, beginning at 9 a.m. With all but the Saints' job filled among the NFL head coaching cycle this time around, who won the hiring cycle? Which team has done the best? Who's the loser, as far as right now? And what would the Bears have done if Ben Johnson had went elsewhere?
I like this one. I think it's a good question. I think that, you know, it's hard to look at the Dallas Cowboys ending up with Brian Schottenheimer, and that's not a shot at him, and saying that's a vast improvement over Mike McCarthy. And Mike McCarthy may well have been the guy that you hired here. Maybe him or Pete Carroll, maybe an experienced guy. I don't know that you just, you know, figure you wait for Joe Brady and see how that works out. So I think that it would have been one of those guys that the Bears, that's the direction they would have gone. I think that, Vrabel's a really good coach who waited for his turn. It sounds like McCarthy is now going to be doing that. It sounds like the Saints know who they're going to hire once Philadelphia is done and once the Super Bowl's over. And I think that the Bears, if they didn't do the best, they did as well as any team. I would have to say there are probably two A hires. I don't want to diss Pete Carroll, but I think that, you know, did you see that he's interviewed Daryl Bevel yesterday?
Yeah.
And there's talk about them trying to get Russell Wilson. Like, they're going to bring the team back together.
NFL loves reunions.
In Vegas? That seems unwise to me.
Where do old people go when they're done with their careers? They go to Vegas.
Is that it? They play the slots?
Wow.
Oh, boy. All right. But that's I think the Bears did real well. I give them a nice high letter grade.
Yeah, I hope they did really well. I mean, this is kind of like, did they get the right quarterback? Did they miss on Jaden Daniels? Caleb Williams was far and away most people's 9 out of 10 draft nicks, 9 out of 10 NFL experts. You know, Caleb Williams was QB1 by a long shot, and then it was Jaden Daniels. And everybody said in this cycle that Ben Johnson was the home run hire. I think we all thought Mike Vrabel was going to the Patriots, and that was kind of a 2-foot putt. I do find it really interesting. I don't know if we'd ever be able to find out. I don't know if Rick, the agent for Ben Johnson, you know, on another podcast or another trip would know or be willing to publicly tell us if Ben had gone to the Raiders, who would have been number two. I think Pete Carroll can at least put the Raiders back to respectability, not make them a laughing stock of the league. Very interesting, too, to hear the owner of the Raiders yesterday talking about how he felt like the organization had their head chopped off when they had to get rid of Gruden for the emails and things like that that he sent out. So, yeah, the Bears get an A, and I think the Jaguars, Duval, gets an F.
Really?
Objectively, the Bears and the Patriots are in the same boat. They feel very good about the coaching search, and they feel like they could not have done better. Both coaches in their respective cities are great fits. Vrabel for the Patriots, who now has three assistant coaches with head coaching experience. He knows what he's doing there because he's done it before, and he's very comfortable in that environment. Ben Johnson, just getting to know him here, but sounds very comfortable with Chicago, which was a destination place for him that we didn't know. So the Bears and Patriots have to feel very good. Those are the A-plus hires in this process. Pete Carroll's probably a B out in Vegas. He's going to do what they need and restore some credibility. I don't know what the Cowboys and the Jaguars are thinking. I think they're both a little bit lost. Jerry Jones admitted that because this is a huge risk with Brian Schottenheimer. Wow. The qualifications, what are they for him? He has been a long time, but I would feel very concerned if I were a Cowboy fan. The Saints still have yet to hire anybody. And I think the second choice for the Bears might have been Mike McCarthy. I think he expected that to be the situation. Maybe he didn't know what Ben Johnson had planned, but I think Mike McCarthy was the backup plan in Chicago. Now he's going to take a year off. It worked for Mike Vrabel. Maybe it'll work for Mike McCarthy.
Pick six.
The Cubs officially announced the addition of closer Ryan Pressly and utility guy John Birdie. So, is Jed Hoyer done with less than 2 weeks before pitchers and catchers report to Arizona?
Well, I hope not. I really hope not. I don't know what else that Cubs could add, but I would love to be surprised. I would be surprised if they were able to land Alex Bregman now, because it sounds like he's got other options that are more lucrative and long-term. But I want to be excited about this Cubs season if you're a Cub fan, and I just don't know to the extent that they've changed the roster is enough change for me. I love the idea of Kyle Tucker, but you know what I really loved? The idea of Kyle Tucker and Cody Bellinger in the same lineup. I'm getting over it, okay, before you start texting. But I do think they're at least one more move away from feeling good about that lineup on a regular basis and feeling good about this pitching staff.
Well, they definitely have to have, unless the answer to you know, protecting Matt Shaw, if that is John Birdie, I don't think that's enough to protect him. So I think there needs to be something else there, at least in camp. There's a lot of names. Where's Pete Alonso playing baseball next year? Is he, you know, does he want to do a Cody Bellinger thing here in Chicago at Wrigley Field, trying to pump out 40 home runs, you know, out of right field? Is that something that he would want to do and then reset his clock and try to go the route of a Cody Bellinger? So I hope not. I hope not. But I think maybe they add one more arm and that's about it.
Yeah, I got to tell you, they there was a lot of guys that they've signed, just like the, you know, Poteets of the world. I don't know. I'm very curious to see what they look like. I think they're done. I think they're I don't know that they have like a ton of moves left. I mean, never say never, and you go down to the wire on all this stuff. But have you heard any rumors or is there information out there about that? You know, the last thing we really heard was that they were talking maybe getting a short-term deal done with Bregman, and all of a sudden he's got suitors, and it's not going to happen.
Leverage.
Right?
It was the Cubs as leverage. If he signs elsewhere.
They were using him as
Or he was using them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But yeah. I just mean, like, that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. You know, Pete Alonso, that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. We would have heard a lot more about that. It just feels like, is there another move to be made? Is somebody going to fall open or something might turn up? Yes. But I think this, they might want to see what this looks like when they get to camp and make a decision based on that. Who knows?
Mm, okay.
I know you're mad about that.
I'm not mad.
I wish I could tell you that they're going to.
I'm not mad.
Well, you're disappointed.
Disappointed. That's okay. Probably a better word. I'm not mad.
I know you're really angry right now.
I'm going to lose it.
All right.
I won't lose it.
We've got the extra point next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Following up on our ratings of teams closest to the playoffs, which lead executive is under the most pressure and who is under the least? Can you rank them, please?
Interesting. We talk about these guys all the time. All right. So here on January 29th, about a week and a day before the NBA trade deadline arrives, this is the way I rank them in terms of most pressure to least among lead executives, because mm-hmm. different titles are different for different teams, but we all know who's making the ultimate decisions on the respective teams. AK, Arturs Karnišovas is under the most pressure to do something impactful on his team, the team that he leads, the Bulls, before the trade deadline. The trade deadline will dictate the future of the Bulls and probably his career. Number two, to me, Jed Hoyer, entering the final year of his deal as a team president. I know we're not supposed to look at that and point that out, but you know what? That brings a sense of urgency. And if it doesn't, it should. There's got to be another deal to be made before opening day. And if not, you go into the season, there's this roster and lineup feels somewhat incomplete. I know they're linked to this guy in the Padres and that guy in the Mets, whoever, but that is a roster that still has they still have needs. So Jed Hoyer's under some heat there. The third one is Kyle Davidson. Kyle Davidson of the Blackhawks. Yes, he's young. Yes, he's got prospects galore. But I do think that when in the context of all the guys we're talking about, it does seem like it's winning time, or at least that was supposed to be this season. And he acknowledged the other day that they've taken a half step back. I think they need to take another step forward. Then Ryan Poles, he would be maybe under more pressure if he didn't just hire, even though his role may not have been as strong and powerful as it once was, he's still there, and I think he's more comfortable now and more probably secure than he was a couple weeks ago before Ben Johnson arrived. And then Chris Getz, not a lot of pressure on a guy who understands he can go into the season, lose 100 games, and still be the most improved team in baseball.
I think it's pretty close up at the top, and I've got a different name than you, David. I'm going to agree. Jed Hoyer's up at the top, assuming that he is out of contract, and I think people expect the Cubs at the very least to get into the postseason this coming baseball season. Right behind him, or equal with him, joined at the hip, if you will, is the Bears general manager, Ryan Poles. They need to do something. He needs his guys that he's drafted need to be impactful. He needs to find the right offensive lineman in the draft. He needs to buy the right offensive lineman in free agency. I think his seat and the pressure is high. Then AK, because we don't know what the Bulls' plan is, but they know what the Bulls' plan is, and I don't think they're going to fire him. And if they're trying to trade everybody, what exactly are you going to get back? How much leverage are you actually going to have when you're trying to do that? And then I think it's the Blackhawks and Sox, because I don't think the expectations even exist for either one of those two teams.
Yeah, I would disagree with you, Dustin. I think David's right. I like his list. That's the list I wrote down. I think AK is the leader of the pack. We are one week away from the trade deadline as of tomorrow. So if you don't get anything done, if you don't declare what you're going to do, if you don't either save the pick, make a move, get more picks, if you don't start looking at what the future is going to be, I think it's kind of nut crunching time. He's heading to some problems, and that's right there. Jed, they're getting ready to go into camp. What do they do with that money? Did they save that money? Was that the point of the whole thing that David is so furious about? but I do think Jed is next. And then I go with Kyle Davidson because, you know, they didn't make any progress. Now, it could happen. It could happen here toward the end of the year. You know, Frankie Nazar playing pretty good. You saw Slager with a goal yesterday, obviously. Bedard coming out of the doldrums. And I'm not even sure he's in them, but, you know, he's going to get better. They're going to get better. It's just a question of when. I would say Ryan Poles has survived to run another draft. Will he survive to run next year's draft? I would say so. I think they're going to get better with Ben Johnson here. I don't know if they're taking it down to the studs. I think he meant that about the offense, not about the roster. So I think that he'll have opinions, and they'll have to make some moves, and they'll have to do some different things, but he will kind of be directing it. And I think that that Poles is taking more of a secondary role, and he's in good shape. Chris Getz has got no pressure whatsoever on him. They were just at the beginning of their losing. They lost so badly last year that he can lose badly again this year and seem like they're getting better. And the same thing holds. He's bought himself, by being the worst team in baseball history, they've bought themselves some years. So I find it hard to believe that he won't be here a couple years down the road.
It's a heck of a job strategy, isn't it?
I mean, we said that about Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
If he could have reversed things.
That's true.
So you don't want to win too early.
You want to continue to show progress.
I don't know if you want to lose that poorly, but yeah. Hey, they live to see another day and they'll get better. It's Mully and Haw. We got Joe O next on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. Money, 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 money. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to our buddy Joe O, and he joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Joseph, how are you, bud?
Doing well, guys. How about you?
Okay.
David can't understand.
It's okay.
He can't understand the Bulls line tonight.
Help me understand it, Joe.
Walk him through it.
15.5.
So what are you thinking? It's way too high?
I think it's very high. I just want to know, why is it that high?
Yeah. No Levine. I guess that's a big part of it. But also, if you look on the other side, Tatum is questionable. I had the same reaction when I looked at that number. This is also a Celtics team that, if you look at them over the last 3 weeks, it's been a lot of win, loss, win, loss. Rockets are good, but they lost at home the other night to Houston by a bucket at the very end. They've talked about it. They just can't get things going. It is not. They don't have the same feeling as last year. So 15 points. The Bulls have played them three times. They beat them once. One was sort of close, and one they were blown out at home by 25. So I think they're kind of asking for people to bet on the Bulls because they know it's going to be tough to get Bulls money. But I would agree with you. If I'm doing something in this game, I would take the Bulls and all of these points.
It is a ton of points. I looked at it yesterday. It was 14.5. I don't know why they lost a point overnight. So it just, that's the line. So help us out here, Joe. The The look ahead line seemed to not hold the Chiefs in the same sort of feeling they have them now. The Chiefs are heartily favored, right? Is that line moving at all? Is the Super Bowl? I just don't quite understand why it opened as it did and why it's moving.
There has been no movement on the point spread. From okay. Sunday night, from after the championship games were complete. Yeah, there were ideas about look-ahead lines. Before the championship Sunday games, there was talk about, okay, it would be somewhere in this range, maybe one. It opened 1.5. Chiefs as the favorite. It is right now 1.5. What did change a little bit is the total. That went up one full point from 48.5 to 49.5 with these two offenses going at it, even though on the Eagles side, you have, by a lot of numbers, a defense that has been viewed as the best in the NFL this year. And then you've got Spags on the other side. Mm. That's an amazing matchup that you're going to see, Fangio against Spags. But yeah, there's been no movement so far. Obviously, a neutral field, so they're saying, let's slant the Chiefs a little bit, probably because of the Mahomes factor. And, you know, for all this chatter out there about, oh, the Chiefs, you can't stop Mahomes, we know what's going to happen, it's still 1.5, guys. I find that to be pretty interesting. We could probably come up with some sort of an angle of what has to happen for the Eagles to win. Will I do it? Probably not. But you know, we could talk about it. Jalen Carter against the interior Kansas City offensive line, that the Chiefs are dead last in the NFL at stopping the tight end. But in the end, you know, you look at Mahomes, guys. He's 8-0 straight up against Vic Fangio defenses. I was surprised to see that, even when they were in the division. Now, 6 were Denver, a couple in Miami. But Mahomes, when he's favored by a field goal or less, or an underdog, he's just about unstoppable.
Quickly, Joe, so we know that Ben Johnson's honeymoon is just beginning, and we're all a little drunk with hope. But are the Bears better bets at this stage as early as it is in the Vikings?
Yeah, so I find this to be fascinating, how they line up the teams in the North. And I think we all expect it's going to be the Lions at the very top. But what are you going to do with all this Bears excitement that we're going to get? Now, not every sports book has posted Super Bowl odds for next season, but the ones that have slotted the Bears with shorter odds, saying they would have a better chance at winning the Super Bowl. They're the better team than Minnesota. The Bears are in the middle of the league, 33-1, and then Minnesota down at 40. It was a season where in the regular season until the tail end, everything seemed to go right for Minnesota. We don't know the quarterback. I think that's the biggest reason. Because of Darnold's finish, don't know what they're going to do. Is it going to be McCarthy, essentially a rookie? Are they going to go over to Daniel Jones? He was on the team at the very end of the year. Don't really know, but you still have O'Connell. You still have Flores. So that's a tough putt for me, guys. I would not say that the Vikings are better than the Bears today. Or rather, the Bears are better. Sorry.
Great stuff, Joe. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
That is our guy, Joe O, from BetQL Network.
Yeah, good advice there. I'm tempted. I'm not a big better, but this Bulls-Celtics game has me intrigued.
Yeah, I mean, my problem is always, I hate to bet the way they seem to be encouraging these.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like they're, you know, if you're sitting there saying, hey, wait a minute, I got to jump in here, that's almost like they're throwing a hook in the water.
Do the opposite of what I would do when it comes to betting.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, okay. Do whatever I don't want to do.
Yeah.
All right. It's Mully and Haw. We've got a lot to go over. We're going to get into it next. Mully and Haw on the score.